The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I've already mentioned some about Alan Hickman. It's only fair for me to say this, that I mentioned as I was praying for Greg, my mentor in the Lord, James Walter Hickman, who was Alan's dad. And I'll tell you, if there's a greater man walk the face of the earth, I don't know who he is. Man of faith and man of power. And I'm James Walter's son in the spirit. He led me to the Lord back in 1972, and he was my mentor. He was my go-to guy. When I didn't know what to do, I'd call Jim and say, "Help!" And Jim would lead me in the right direction. And as God in his divine providence would have it, his son, Alan Hickman, followed in his dad's footsteps. And I would say that the mantle and an anointing of his dad is upon him. He's got a great love for people, got a heart bigger than the world. He's got an anointing that you will, those of you who know him, know his anointing is surely of the Lord. He doesn't do anything in the natural, but what he does in the flesh. He does in the spirit. I can't believe I said that. It's his body, but it's his spirit. That was not a prophetic word. I got my tongue all tangled up, all right? So, but I love this guy, and I just want you to listen to him as he comes and shares his heart whenever God's put on his heart. He's a great guy. He's pastor's Resurrection Life. If you want to visit Resurrection Life, we have ankle bracelets that you must wear. We've got it from the police department. And it forces you to come back to New Beginnings Church. You cannot go there and stay, all right? I know it's enticing. It's big. They got thousands of people and all kinds of wonderful music and bands and a great preacher. You got to come back, all right? So with that said and done, I'm going to turn the service over to my dear friend, Alan Hickman.
I'm going to try to do something in the flesh. And, I love Morris, you know, he just, you know. I might sing. Yeah, that's what I might do. I want everybody to be encouraged today. So he said y'all normally get out about 1:30. And no, I wouldn't do that to you. I'm hungry already, man. I had a... had a hunger pain already, so it'll be short and sweet. So, but I want you to stand up. Stand up just for a second. You've been sitting for a while. Now I want you to turn to some three people, look them in the eye, and say, "You look really good today. Have you lost weight?" Come on, tell somebody, "You look good today." All right, have a seat. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing. You know, I tell my people, you know, lie to me. Just lie. I don't care. You know, tell me I look good. I don't tell, you know, I don't care at all. You know, it's amazing how powerful our words are. Greg, I really did see a strong picture of you and your wife. And your children, how many children do you have? Okay. Okay. I'm not going to touch that one, but I did see several, you know, so I'll let you define what several means. I saw you, and this is, you can tell I hang around kids a lot. I saw you with this juggernaut helmet on. Saw a picture, you and your wife, and you were busting down walls. And having a great time. Saw you with a big smile on your face, throwing rocks. I was like, come on. setting people free, you know, and fighting. God's called you to be warriors, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to warn you one thing. Be careful which walls. You know, don't just go after them just because there's a wall. God will tell you which ones, and He'll give you the anointing to bust them down. So I want to try to impart something to you today. I really am not going to be long. When I say that at my church, they all laugh, but since you really believe me, you know. If you got your Bibles, I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 22. Let me just say this. I'm going to try to impart something to you. I hope I stir you up. I hope I make you angry. I hope you talk bad about me at the dinner table, and you just, I hope you lay in bed thinking about what I'm going to share, because God has been messing with me for several months. So this whole year, I woke up in January, and at my ordination, they lay hands on me, and at Eastside Baptist Church in Pearl, Mississippi, and all that, and everything. And I want you to know everything I was trained to do and to get and to go after, I've got it. Okay? I want you, and please don't think I am so far from, if you don't know me if you think I'm bragging. I mean, I got everything. I have right now everything that they told me I should go after. And I want you to know it is not it. You know, it ain't it. You know, it's just not it. And so what the Lord began to stir something in me, and I hope I stir you up today. That's my one task today. I just want to stir something up in you, rattle your cage a little bit and see what comes out. Okay. Now, here's what it says. Josiah, verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Now, let's just stop right there and be afraid. And be glad. I mean, I have an 8-year old. And you see, we don't understand kingship and everything. And man, I read that I had to spend half a day thinking what a kingdom would be like with an 8-year old as king. You know, my 10 boys, you know, and wow. We'd have plenty of Skittles, no school. Anyway. But here's what he did. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Verse 2. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. This was a good kid. This was a good guy. Okay? He would be what we would call a good Christian, a good churchgoer. Okay? Now, he was doing nice things and all that. Jump over to verse 9. Let's just pick it up. So, Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the word, saying, "Your servant has gathered the money and was found in the house, and he has delivered it into the hands of those who work, who oversee the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened. I pray that this is a now it happened day for every one of you. I pray that today is a now it happened day. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book that of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then he commanded Hilkiah the priest, saying, verse 13, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found." Now, if you jump over to verse 25, chapter 23, verse 25, this is what it says about Josiah at the end of his life. Listen to this. "Now, before him, there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor after him did any arise like him." You ever heard that verse before? That's a New Testament verse. Love the Lord. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Jesus said that, a New Testament verse applying to an Old Testament guy. Now let me tell you the story. Here's basically the story. Okay, am I going to feed back, Mr. Soundman? Wake up back there, man. He's already got lunch back there. He's sitting back there. Yeah, that's what my sound guy does. He's back there eating while I'm preaching. I'm like, man, I'm going to fire you for that. Anyway, here's what happened. Josiah became king. Now, if you read Kings, ever since Solomon, it's been bad. They worshipped other gods. They turned away from what God had told them to do. They did all of these things, okay? It just went downhill. Well, then Josiah rises up, and something in him stirs, and he says, you know, I want to go back to the way it was. I want to do some things. He went and looked at the temple. He said, man, the church is kind of broken down. Let's fix it up. And so he started doing good things. Okay? Doing good, being a good Christian. Now, I want to say one thing. I hope it offends you. God did not call us to be good Christians. I'm pausing for effect. I want you to think about that a minute. We have been bamboozled. We have been tricked. We have been tricked into thinking and lowering the standard. Josiah was a good guy, a good king, doing good things. And then all of a sudden, when they were fixing one of the walls, they felt into the wall and they found this old scroll. They found some things that had been written down. And Hilkiah started reading them and he started going, wow. And so he takes them to Josiah and he says, oh king, you gotta read this. And he reads it, and what happens inside of him is what I want to happen inside of you. It is what is happening inside of me. It is what's going on. I believe what happened inside of him was he realized that he was living this way, but the standard was way up here, and something inside of him became outraged at what he was doing. He became outraged at what he had settled for. And the Bible says that he tore his clothes. That was a sign all through the Scripture that they were terribly either repenting or either completely mad about the way things are. And until the church becomes outraged, we will always settle for the status quo. You need to be outraged. I need to be outraged at the mediocrity that the church has settled for. We are so mediocre. We're boring. We're such rut people. I mean, we slip into ruts and we live our life rut. Oh yeah, I experienced that. I'm living for retirement and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. God is not into retirement. Amen. Now there's nothing wrong with retiring from your job, but when do you? Yeah, Brother Allen. You know, I kept the nursery. I have worked the nursery. Now I'm not doing it anymore. It's somebody else's turn. If you're called to the nursery, when exactly do you get time off from that? We have settled. Do you realize what has been? That's what Josiah did. He read what God said about him. And you can read the story hundreds of years before. A prophet stood at that same temple and said, thus saith the Lord, there is coming a king named Josiah that will radically change the whole earth. Can you imagine when he read that about himself and something inside of him tore and he said, I have lived mediocre. Do you realize, how many of you saved in here? Correct me if I'm wrong, man. This is straight scripture. Do you realize the inside of you is the same Holy Spirit that was at the creation hovering over the earth? Do you realize the gift that we have been given of salvation, where we are set free, that we are God's children? Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe somewhere I read that I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That means I'm inheriting it all. And we walk around with like paupers in the spirit. Oh God. We write songs like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Come and save us from the devil. Oh, the world's going bad. I'm moving to Australia. Maybe it'll save me. Oh. Something inside of you ought to rise up and say, man, I have been stolen from. I have been tricked. We are settling. We have settled in the Church of Jesus Christ for mediocrity in our own personal life. My mama was, you know, my grandma was divorced. My mama was, you know, I am too. All that stuff. Did it not say that He came to set us free? Did it not say that He came to give us life and life more abundantly? Does it not say that we are supposed to be healthier, wealthier, smarter, and all that stuff, and more creative than the world ever thought they could be? Whoa. I didn't get too many amens on that one. Does it not say that? I'm not saying God's called all of you to be millionaires, but God has called you. My bills, they get, I can't pay my bills. Why are you putting up with that? Something in you, if your bills are not being paid, if you can't afford, look, I got problems, okay? I just won't be a real with you. I got 10 kids. I got issues. My first one's going to college in 2 weeks. And then I got one going to college the next year. And then the next year. Then I get a break. And then the next year and the next year. Don't talk to me about issues. And my wife thinks, me and my wife are having this big argument. I think that crooked teeth add character. But she wants all of them to go to orthodontist. And I'm saying, God, Amy, I'm buying the man a Mercedes. What do you mean? So I understand, but listen to me. I stand in front of my boys and I tell them, and I believe this with all my heart, that God will provide. He will take care of me. Somebody's going to walk up and do this or do that. I know it's going to happen. Why do we put up with worry? Why do we put up with fear in our life when you read the book and it says, you don't have to have it. The world should be scared, but not us. You realize the Bible, I read a medical journal. I can't tell you, I must have been incredibly bored. But I read a medical journal. This doctor said that half of the hospital beds in America were filled with worry and anxiety-related illnesses. They might have illnesses, but they were caused. You realize that God created man, that when you worry about things, your brain does something, and he used words that I had, whoa. But here's basically in South Mississippi terms. Your brain starts clicking and moving and doing stuff and creates a chemical that attacks every organ in your body. And that's a fact. And yet we as Christians act like worry is a normal part of our life. You ought to be outraged at that. You ought to be outraged that you're living the way you're living. You ought to be outraged. He became outraged at the condition. God did not call us to be good Christians. He called us to be life givers. God did not call us just to be a good person. And I'm going to tell you something. There, hell is full of good people. He called us to be world changers. You might not change the whole world, but I sure am supposed to change the world around me. There ought to be a difference that you're here. Because why? I've got the Holy Spirit inside of me. Man, I'm a king's kid. And yet we live with the past always dictating to us.
Some of you right here in this room, you have such unforgiveness. You have put up with hatred and bitterness, and that past is coming. You ought to be outraged that that is still in your life, controlling your thoughts. And until you get outraged, you'll always live with it. Until you decide it stops here. You know, one of the things that addictions, one of the major, and Mars don't have to have me back, so. One of the major addictions is with people, grown people, and prescription drugs. You do not realize that you have got to break those curses in your life. Because if I don't break them, I am going to pass them on. And you ought to be outraged that I have settled for those kind of things. I have settled for addictions to prescription drugs and addictions to all these other things. I've settled for that. You ought to be outraged about that. Because when you read in the book, it says that I have been set free by the blood of Jesus. I mean, we have no idea what a good deal we got when we got saved. Man, you got a deal. Take your old junker out here. And then, go to the Mercedes place, and you go, I like a Mercedes. Got one for you today. Well, all I got to tell you what. Man, I really like that old Ford. Would you trade me that Ford for this brand new Mercedes?
And you go, well, okay. And then you drive off. You wouldn't go home. You'd stop at every person you know. Look at the deal I got! We've been tricked into believing that salvation is not the best deal in the world. He died for my sins. There ain't nothing. You can't be good enough to earn His love. Your filthy rags, the things you're proud of and go, I did that, are like filthy rags compared to Him. And yet He's decided to love you and care for you and die for you and set you free, become a king's kid. Now I can call God daddy because of what He did, not because of who I am, but because of who He is. And I can reach out to Him, and I'm telling you, you realize that. When you start realizing that, you can't help go, I got a good deal. We ought to be outraged that we're living less than that. We ought to be outraged that you're settling for junk in our lives. We ought to be outraged that we're so boring. Do you realize listen to this now. God created you to be creative. 80-some-odd%, can't remember the exact. I realized a few minutes ago I forgot my notes, so I'm just winging it. 80-some-odd percent of 4-year-olds are tested and they're deemed creative. And then when they test 18-year-olds, about 30-something% are deemed creative. And then when they test 30-something-year-olds, it drops down to about 8 or 9%. What does that mean? What is that telling you? They're dumbing us down. The world's dumbing us down. Listen to me. If you go to the same restaurant and order the same thing every time when they got 5 pages of stuff and you never try, break out of it! Order something different! Because I'm telling you, there is creative ideas inside of you right now. There are ideas that will revolutionize somebody's life. There are ideas inside of you that for children's ministry, for all this other stuff. There are all kinds of things inside of you that are in you right now. And Satan has tricked us into saying, I don't have it. And I'm telling you, you ought to be outraged about it. I am outraged when I look around at the Church of Jesus Christ
at the way we are and how poor we are because we don't tithe. The tithers, do you realize if you tithe, it would add 22 billion. I'm talking about just the people that profess to be Christians. It would add $22 billion to Christianity. Just the tithers, not asking for anything special. We ought to be outraged at how we're living our lives. And when God says we can have this and we have done that, I mean, people, we do it with our children. We've been trained. Well, I had some guy look at me. His wife had been coming to meet with me. And some guy came and said, well, he didn't think he had any problems. He said, well, we must have done something right. We've been married 42 years. Something must be right. And she just spent 3 days telling me what a hell it is to live with this man. Well, I had another guy look at me and say, well, you know, my child ain't in jail. She ain't pregnant. And she graduated high school. I guess I did something right. How pathetic is that? How pathetic? I mean, I just want to scream that we've set the goals so low. It's exactly what they're doing to the education system. Public education, well, we don't want to hurt little Johnny's psyche, his self-esteem. So we're going to pass him even though he can't read. We don't want to demand anything of him. And so we're graduating people who can't write their own stinking name. Somebody ought to be outraged about it. Where did they get that idea? They got it from the church. Because we are the light. We are the salt. And when we started settling for living less than God says we have, it is spread throughout the world and they think it's all right. And until we begin as a church and in your life to settle with all the stuff, and I don't think that God is impressed. I want you to understand. Picture with me. You get to heaven and God, and you see Jesus for who He really is. And the glory and the majesty and the power and all that stuff. And I'm going to be like you. I'm just going to be proud to be there. But when He asks you, what did you do with what I gave you? And you say, well, Lord, I never killed nobody. Lord, I tried to be a good person. I resisted sin. Let me say something to you. The church of Jesus Christ is way too sin conscious. We think we've done something. Well, if we just stand and resist sin. Well, I don't want to do nothing bad. Oh, yeah, I've been faithful to my wife. Oh, okay. When I had the very power that created the universe living inside of me, and I didn't do nothing with it. I don't think God's going to be pleased with us if we stand and say, God, I resisted sin. I don't think God's going to be impressed at all. What did you do with what I gave you? In college, when I was playing college football, you'd have these guys that come in, and they'd have all the muscles. Always like to go without their shirt, you know. Yeah, and I always wore big shirts. And, you know, they'd walk around the weight room, you know, pumping, you know. And I'd pump iron and I'd blow up like Humpty Dumpty, you know. I didn't have no cuts or nothing, you know. So, you know, they'd walk around and look good and all the women go, ooh. And they could run, you know, like a gazelle. You know.
Well, let me tell you something. There's one particular guy. He had more talent, more ability than anybody I'd ever played against. And I enjoyed every day at practice just beating the snot out of him. I mean, I bit him, I spit on him, I kicked him, I talked about his lineage, I did everything. Because it made me mad, because I had to work for everything I got. And this joker had all the God-given talent in the world, and he didn't do nothing with it. One day I started thinking, I wonder what God thinks about us. We still struggle with, my mama didn't love me. Well, how long are you going to drag that dead horse around? Well, my daddy didn't. He didn't do me right. I'm sorry. I know. I understand. But does it not say that when I get saved, that God becomes my father? That I got a new family now. I'm sorry it happened. I'm sorry those things happened. But let me tell you something. When I got saved, when you got saved, man, we became a child of the King. And we still live like we're paupers. We still live in bondage. And I'm hoping this morning you're outraged at the mediocrity that you have settled for. You realize that Jesus Christ said, "My peace I leave with you"? I'm just let that settle in. Jesus Christ said, "My peace I give to you. My peace I live with you." This is what Jesus Christ said. Are you listening to me? And we are flipping people the bird and collaring and cussing at them when they cut us off in traffic. Like that's a big deal. Oh, God, it got silent in here, didn't it? A cool breeze. That was a little too personal. I mean, we're hollering. Some of you argued on the way to church today. Ain't got no peace, worried about all that stuff. You ought to be outraged that you're like that. Well, I'm just the family worrier. Why don't you just say it like it really is? Well, I'm just the family sinner. I'm the one that sins for everybody. Because that's what worry is. Worry is saying, "God, I know what you said, but I better handle this one. I better worry about this one. God, you can't be trusted." And don't say, "Well, I would never say that." You're saying it every day. We ought to be outraged. You know what happened to Josiah? He outraged, and here's what he said. Here's what you need to do. I'm going to finish. He told the guys, "You go and find a prophet for me, for the people, for our whole country, and tell us what to do." Josiah went and got him a word of what he needed to do. Every one of you, if you're a Christian, you need to have a word of what God wants you to do.
Amen.
If it's just ministering to your neighbor, cutting their grass. Well, they ain't been very nice to me, so I ain't doing nothing for them. Well, live in mediocrity. Live less than. I think the biggest thing, that don't bother me. That's normal household sounds at my house. Man, we have 19. My oldest is 19. My youngest is 2. So we have all the Dobson developmental stages living in my house. And He got him a word. Now, some of you go, well, I don't know what my gifting is. I don't know what. Well, here's what you do. If you don't have one for yourself, you hang around somebody that does until you get one for yourself. Somebody that's got one.
Amen.
You find somebody and start doing what, and in the midst of doing something, you'll find God will speak to you. But as long as you sit around and wait until something happens, you'll never get what God has for you. You ought to be outraged at our inactivity. We are the biggest whiners and complainers in the history of people. And I want to give you a revelation. I want you to know that Washington ain't going to fix it. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. When they cross the line of Washington, D.C., they go brain dead. They have no common sense. Nobody knows what to do. All they care about is just staying in power. So, what does that say to us? I can't wait for them to fix me when God says, I've already given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. So you go out and you get you a word. If it's helping at the funeral home, if it's helping at the old folks' home, if it's helping do this and helping do that, whatever God's putting in your life, you do it. And if you go, well, I don't know what to do, find somebody that knows where they're going, hang around with them, and it'll come to you. You realize Josiah changed the entire nation? You realize, I'm a student of history, that nations have been changed by groups bigger than this right here. Revolutions have started by groups bigger than this right here. Smaller than this right here. Thank you. A man's listening. You get a dollar after church. Revolutions have started by groups smaller than this right here. And the thing that's different about us, we have the unlimited, powerful Holy Spirit inside of us. You get your word. And then you'll have a now it happened day. And I'm not going to go into a lot of it, but you get. Let me just say this to you. Some of you are living insanely. You're insane. You whine and complain and want things to be different, but you never change anything. That's insanity. You do the same thing over and over again, you can't expect different results. You're insane if you think something different. Some of you need to tear off something. Now, we're not going to have everybody tear off their clothes. You need to tear off something. You might have to change friends. You might have to change a routine. You might have to say, well, I don't have time to help nobody. But by God, we got time. And this is not a slap on your little announcement there. I got 15 fantasy football groups in my church. I mean, they're all over the place. I got time to draft every week and trade and all that, but I ain't got time to go for what God wants me to do. You're going to have to change something. I'm not against fantasy football. But if it's keeping you from changing and altering and stepping up to what God has for you, here's the way I believe it should be for Christians. I believe that Christians should live and do everything God has called them to do and then just drop dead. I really believe one day I'm going to stand up and preach my final sermon and just say, love you, boom. Wouldn't that be fun? It'd be fun for the crowd. Now, you listening to me? Now, here's what I want to say to you. If you're saved, If you're not saved, man, have I got a deal for you. He died for you, and all He wants is your heart. And you can receive Him and accept Him. But if you have, I'm telling you, we are living less than. I hope this is a now it happened. I hope that you go home and clean up your room. Mama's telling you, hey, that was a word from God for some of you teenagers. Go home. Listen, I wish I had a nicer house. Well, go paint it. Stop complaining about the condition it's in. Take care of what you have, and God will give you more. Stop praying for God to give you $1 million if you can't handle 100. And begin to ask the Lord, God, what do I need to change? What am I living that You have set me free from? What bondages am I going that You have set me free from? And I'm living less than. If I'm still addicted to things, if I'm still carrying on. And listen, if you can't get over a lost love or a divorce or whatever, stop listening to 101.9. And you hear all of those old songs the way you do. And you think about, oh, in your heart, yeah. I mean, stop it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Change something. Be outraged at the condition you're in and get a word for yourself. And what will begin to happen is, you'll start living out what God has called you to be. And it's a whole, that ain't boring. That's not boring. Christians ought to ever be bored. All right? Are you hearing me? I want to pray for you. Greg's been honored to be here today. I know that might have been more than you were bargaining for, but man, I want us to be who we are. That's all. My dad, he used to tell me every time I left the house, two things when I was growing up. He'd look at me and said, Alan, remember your last name. He said, remember who we are. This morning I'm trying to get you to remember who you are. We're the light. We're the change agent. We're the ones that the gates of hell should be scared of.
Right. Amen.
You hear me?
Yeah.
And all it takes is just simplicity. That goofy movie, Noah. Heaven Almighty. Makes one simple, random act of kindness. You can start a revolution. Under the power and the anointing of